Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's guest speaker will be Omaha Mayor Jim Suttle. He'll talk about his first 90 days as the 50th mayor of Omaha. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, October 15th, 2009, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Gary Willis, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Employment experts will tell you that the first 90 days in a new job are the most important. That's when you establish your priorities, set your agenda, and tackle your first challenges. The first 90 days in office have been very interesting for Mayor Jim Suttle. Faced with an increasing budget deficit, contracts with police and firemen, he and the city council have faced some major challenges. Mayor Suttle was sworn in as the 50th mayor on June 8th. He previously served on the Omaha City Council from District 1 from 2005 to 2009. Mayor Suttle.
Thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here today. I was just reflecting on some of the things from your kind introduction. And, you know, I got started in this job. It seems like before I got sworn in, I got sworn at. And some days I think that continues. But I do try to have a tough skin in the sense of just doing a good job. And so I've had lots of good coaching from lots of good people. And it's good to see all of you here. It's good to have our folk listening in and watching in as well. You know, several weeks ago, my wife and I decided just to take a few days off. We drove up to Minneapolis for a great event. Our six-year-old grandson was having a birthday, and we were invited to Chuck E. Cheese for the party. So we're still drinking Pepto-Bismol. So. Now, we stopped along the way over here. It came time just to have a break and have a little bit of some nourishment on the trip. And so we stopped for some cuisine on the way at, it was Walnut, Iowa, the McDonald's. And the lady behind the counter recognized me, and some people in line recognized me. And finally, four ladies were sitting at the table next to us and said, "What the heck are you doing here in Walnut, Iowa?" And I said, "Well, I'm looking for annexation possibilities." So I've had a lot of time touring around the metro area. I still believe in the region. I still believe that we have regional problems that need regional solutions. You will see me promoting that. But I'm not going to be looking for land grabs. We're going to be looking for hand grabs. So hands across the river, hands across Harrison Street. Matter of fact, later this afternoon, we're going to have hands across the Elkhorn River. We're going to be at the first meeting of the Douglas County Mayors. And we will be doing that in Valley. And all I see on my sheet here is Mayors Meeting Valley Delicious. Well, that's the restaurant, or excuse me, the bakery we're going to be in out there. So it will be a delicious afternoon. Well, I want to thank you for joining me, and I want to share with you some commentary that kind of reflects where I think we have been as I look back to these first days in office. And it's been a few months. We've covered really actually almost 4 months in office. But as we cover some of this, I want to shift gears and talk a little bit later in the commentary about the short term and the long term of where we need to be going. And then let's open it up to your questions and hopefully my answers that fit the occasion. Well, as I took office, I prepared to face the immediate challenges that would shape our city's financial future. Because 3 days after the election in May 12th, and sitting down with Mayor Fahey and Carol Ebden, I became totally exposed to the tremendous financial challenge and disaster that had fallen upon our city, and it fell very, very quickly with the shortfall in the sales tax. So what I began to formulate in my mind as I looked at the overall problem was to begin to break it down. I knew I needed to address the 2009 budget. I needed to address the fire and police pension. I needed to address the new budget that we needed for 2010. if we reflect a little bit over the last decade, as the economy slowed down and as healthcare costs began to rise, the city made incremental cuts, and it made it in basic services, and those cuts stretched over about an 8-year period. And they were really not seen very much by you and me in our day-to-day operations. The short-term effect that most of these cuts were not noticeable, but it left us with little room to maneuver as we looked at parks or police or fire or the basic things like pools and libraries and so forth. So as we got into the May time frame of this year and saw that the sales tax were going to drop so drastically, so quickly, all of the things that we were trying to manage properly over the last 8 years all of a sudden didn't work very well anymore, and we had to face the real dilemmas with the city. And it was interesting, as we looked at the sales tax, first we were looking at an $8 million shortfall for the 2009. This rose to 12. We are still addressing parts of it, but I think we have a plan in place. I will say very candidly to you that we're looking at $9 million that we need to cover between now and the end of the year. But basically, the plan's in place, and we will address that with, one, the follow-through on the police negotiations, fire negotiations, to bring in the zero wage increases for this year and next year. We will look at some administrative transfers in our basic budget, and we will dip into our very, very meager contingency account as we go forward. But we think we're on plan, and Pam Spaccaratella, my new CFO, is monitoring this. We meet now every Monday, and we go through where we are as we stay very, very close to our financials. I want to share with you one fact that I found several months ago in talking to the mayor of La Vista. I found that La Vista and Omaha have something in common in our cash reserve. We both have $5 million. Now, I want you to do the mathematics on the size of La Vista and the size of Omaha. So we have uncovered a new problem that we will need to be addressing, the mayor and the council and the people, as we go into the year 2010, and that is, what do we do about this reserve account? Well, as a result of these difficult choices that were made, the police recruit class was delayed for the third time until January of next year because we couldn't afford to take care of it this year. Over 100 full and part-time employees were let go. This was not a fun decision, nor was it an efficient decision. Matter of fact, it's very inefficient when we go into layoffs at City Hall. We closed pools a week early, and we heard about it, and the public didn't like it, and they didn't want that to happen again. We closed a public library totally, and the public again said, we don't want that to happen. It was through those two incidences that I think we finally got through to the public that this was serious on our financials. And we were coming out of a period of denial into a period of reality. But we still have more education to do on all of our parts. So at this point, the reaction from the community was at times anger and frustration. But I think it was a healthy anger and a healthy frustration that we were experiencing. You see, Omaha had never had such a financial crisis. In the history of the application of the sales tax, this is the only year that we had ever seen a reduction in that revenue stream. But we also had to deal with the denial factor, as I said. We also had to deal with a philosophy that's still with us this very moment as we are talking to one another. It's a great political philosophy to say no more taxes, but it doesn't work with the realities of the financial we're in when people want services and we need the cash flow in order for the city to provide those services. During the last 3 months, as part of the process, we held 3 roundtable meetings across the city. These were done to raise public awareness to where we were. I think as we go into the year 2010, 10 and get ready for the next round. We will have these community roundtable meetings very early at the start of the process. I'm thinking in the March-April timeframe as we look at the 2011 budget, and then do them again as we go into the July timeframe to actually file the budget. I think this will give us a more healthier interaction with our public. Those who attended these roundtables that we did this past summer had an opportunity to vent, had an opportunity to share ideas, had an opportunity to listen and get educated on where we were with our financial picture. And I think out of all of that, we became a healthier people and having the opportunity to do that. Well, after working closely with the city council, we did formulate the 2010 budget. We did come to a balanced budget. We actually found this city charter that was put together so many decades ago works, and its checks and balances were in place and kicked into gear as we did balance this budget for the good of the city and for the good of the people. This budget did include a 4.2-cent property tax increase. Part of that was allocated to the pension plan to give us solvency there for our debts, and the other part went to the operating budget. So for next year, we should be on plan to be able to keep our libraries open, our pools open, and keep the basic services in place that the people have asked for. Let's go back to the debt for a moment. The Quest Center debt had been looming on the horizon for almost a decade. Shortly after the voters approved the project, doubling our debt, the city slashed tax rates by 6 cents a few months later. And then a few months after that, the financing plan for the Quest Center fell apart as well. So we had an increase in spending rapidly, and we had a decrease in revenue and giving back a tax break at that point in time around the year 2001. Since then, we have been trying to figure out how to administratively handle that $20 million shortfall difference. And as we go forward in time with what we were seeing this summer, it really, really came to haunt us that we had not corrected spending as well as the property tax reduction years and years ago. The Quest Center bonds that we were dealing with are funded out of a debt service account. And that debt service account is something that was on my mind, and I felt that any delayed action other than here in the year 2010, the 2010 budget, would not be good, prudent management and not be in the keeping with the health of our city. The lack of cash reserves as well were a contributing factor. So when we met with Moody's and Standard & Poor's, our city financial team, I thought, was well prepared. And the end result was that we did see Moody's, instead of considering a single A rating, dropping us again, they kept with a very solid AA1 and actually even reinforced it. So I think our plan this summer worked to put 2.4 cents in the debt service account. That problem is now solved. I think the plan worked also to have an additional 1.8 cents in the property tax go into our general fund in order to balance our cash flow picture, balance the budget for the year 2010. There's a lot of questions about the stadium. The stadium works. It has a solid cash flow plan. It is not a problem. It is a jobs bill and a time when we need it. It's certainly coming out of the ground, and you can see the form and shape of this stadium. But it's also sparking interest on developers coming in looking at the vacant lots and properties in proximity to this stadium. So it's a plus. It's not a financial problem to this city, and we need to continue on its course. Our city finance director, the CFO that I've hired, Pam Spacarotella, The Chief of Staff, Steve Altman's, and myself, we did visit Moody's, as I said, and Standard & Poor in Chicago. We learned a great deal out of that meeting and the conversations. And we learned the significance of coming back and buckling down and resolving the fire and police pension plan. That is the next major challenge for us as a people. The unions are cooperating. They're working hard with us. Next week, we will spend 4 days working on the police union contract, and we hope to get that totally resolved next week, not only for a long-term contract, the wages, the CIR issues that are still outstanding, but the solvency of the pension plan for the union half of the responsibilities. The fire is basically in place, but we have some additional things that we will be working on in the next couple of weeks on that as well. Resolving the fire and police issues are the right steps for us to do. And if we are able to stay on course with the unions through the next 15, 20 days, then it will come back to our side of the ledger for the city, the people, to come up with their share of the solvency dollars to bring that plan from its $500 million problem into a zero problem. Shortly after this meeting with Moody's, we saw the fruits of our labors, and we saw how well prepared we were. We sold some $25 million in bonds that Tuesday after our Chicago meeting, and the city was able to attain 3.22% interest when we thought maybe we might see 4% interest or 4.5% interest on our bonds. This was unheard of in the history of this city, and we need to all pat ourselves on the back for the success of the financial plan that we put in place, the actions we took by the mayor and the council with our budget, and the plan that we are putting in place to resolve our pension plan dilemmas. With this, we did have good success in the marketplace with selling our bonds. We have some $60 million more to sell over the next 4 months. So we are poised, I think, to have additional problems that we were looking at and how to sell bonds and how to capture the advantages of low interest rates at this point in time. Let's talk a little bit more about the $500 million pension plan shortfall. Mayor Fahey commissioned a task force led by Bob Bates. The purpose of this task force was to bring reform as well as solvency to the fire and police pension plan. It is premised on a fundamental that this plan is 50-50 owned by the unions and by the people. We have been proceeding forward on that. I think that's the solid way to approach the problem, and we will continue with that understanding. So as I indicated, we will be working very closely with our unions here over the next few weeks, and I hope that during the next 30-day period, we will be able to get closure on the proposals that we are working on with the fire union and with the police union. Throughout the entire process, I've made it my policy to keep open lines of communication with the city council, whether we're dealing with issues on the budget, the finances, or whether we're dealing with issues on our union negotiations. We will continue to do that. And I think having the members of the city council fully educated and fully informed is the best policy and the best strategy, and it's one that I will continue as mayor. Together, even though we have checks and balances in place with the way the charter is structured, we still are the decision-making authorities, the mayor on one hand, the council on the other, as we go through, step by step, each of these dilemmas that we must solve. In the coming months, I will look to institute performance-based budgeting and a performance-based management system. We're going to start with public safety, and those principles are now being formulated as we work with our fire department and with our police department. I want to make sure that we are dealing with the financials on a biweekly basis and that we're trying to make sure that we are making the right decisions as we do the expenditures within those departments. We will be expanding this to all the departments in the city. And in order to do this, we will be putting additional person on my staff on the third floor and a deputy position, deputy chief of staff position. And we will also be strengthening some of the staff positions, the civil service positions that are being called for in the finance department. I think this is good management. I think it brings us closer to what I campaigned on, and that was following business management principles as we go into our whole financial picture. My biggest long-term goal for the city is to revitalize the eastern part of our city, the residential neighborhoods, and to create jobs in those neighborhoods. And particularly my eye is on North Omaha, where we are facing, as we speak, some 30% unemployment. This is a problem that affects all of us, no matter where we live in the metropolitan area, whether you're in Plattsmouth or Elkhorn or Valley or Council Bluffs or Carter Lake or wherever. If we can do our part here at the city to serve as a catalyst in creating jobs, we need to do so. By creating jobs, by restoring the middle class in North Omaha, we will see a dramatic reduction in crime when the combined with the city community policing and combined with the educational opportunities that we're doing through Building Bright Futures and the Empowerment Network and the Sherwood Foundation and others, we will be able to see drastic change take place very, very quickly in the whole social structure of the eastern part of the city. This was a fundamental theme that I campaigned on: enforcement, education, employment, and we will follow through on that step by step, working in concert with the Chamber of Commerce, community leaders north and south, and the people throughout the metropolitan area. I also think that we need to focus on the green economy. I just came this morning from an announcement with Governor Heineman, as well as the IBEW, to create a new training center for being able to work on wind turbines. This is not only including how we are prepared to erect wind turbines, but also to have the safety aspects in place, but also the maintenance and operation. If we're going to be the city of the future, the state of the future, we have to go green, and we have to step in to the green world. And so as I talk about 1,000 jobs in the eastern part of the city, my eye is towards the green economy, green manufacturing, whether we're making components for these wind turbines or a host of other things that reflect on sustainability in our city. We will serve as a leader, and we will serve as a catalytic force to get things done. And I applaud the governor and the union leaders in our city for the efforts that they put in place this morning. As I said earlier, I'm also a firm believer in regional cooperation, and that's why you will see me out and about. I have been visiting the mayors in the three-county area, Pottawatomie County, Sarpy, and Douglas. We're going to do more together. We're going to try and look at common problems that are facing all of our people and look collectively at common solutions that will help each of the cities. By building a stronger region, we will have a more vibrant region, and something better to sell as we compete across the country and across the globe for industry and for investors. So this also applies with the role and conduct of our participation in the League of Municipalities. City of Omaha has taken a somewhat passive role in the past, and I want to make sure that we take an active role with the other cities, small, medium, and large, across this great state, so that we are doing our part as the city's as a state's largest city in participating with their issues. So I will be an active participant. My chief of staff, Steve Altman's, will be an active participant. I would likewise like to take this participation to the national level as well, and we'll be working on that as one of our goals in the year 2010. One of the things that's been a live topic I've talked about before is tax reform. It's still something that I think we need to do in this state. We have a tax policy based on the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, the past. We need a tax policy based on the year 2030, the future. As we talk about a lot of issues right now on how we're going to take care of our needs, my attention is continually directed to the exemptions. We put so many exemptions on our rolls, our tax rolls, and we're still talking about new ones. Read the newspaper this week. That we have become a state of tax avoiders and taxpayers, and we have a greater burden falling on fewer and fewer people. I think these need to be freshly looked at, and we need a fresh policy on how we're going to pay for our services, be it state, be it county, be it city. Omaha continues to gain national recognition as a place to live and work and a place to raise families. So I think it's imperative that we have a strong city parks system. I think it's imperative that we have a strong library system. And the Library Foundation has been a tremendous asset. The city needs a parks foundation. And so we are exploring how to bring that into being, and it will be one of our goals for the year 2010. I also think the time is here that I bring in a strong person to be the executive director of the City Parks and Recreation Department, and likewise a strong person to be our personnel director. These are the two departments that are next on my agenda, to bring in the leadership so that we can begin to streamline and modernize their performance to their mission. As we look to the future, I would only close by making these commentaries. We had a rough summer. We had a rough summer in getting this budget passed. It's a very, very tight budget. We still need to think about those dreams that we've been talking about also this summer. A new downtown master plan. How are we going to implement it? How are we going to add more things to the riverfront? How are we going to add the things that are necessary for a better quality of life? The time is here to get off the talking and get to the doing on a light rail system. We need to have a new name for it. The O-Line. And we need to figure out if we're going to do it, why we're going to do it, and how we're going to pay for putting it in place. But cities of the future have light rail, and this city needs it too. We need to take a fresh look at our arts. We need an arts district, and we need consistent funding for everything that constitutes the arts and the social fabric that it brings to our community. That's the zoo and the museums. That's the art we see on the streets. That's the arts we experience as we educate our children and our people. That's the art we see as a career for those that are so interested in that. So this is something else on my mind on how we step in to that particular future need as well. With that, I'm going to close. I would welcome your questions, and we'll spend the remaining time on what's on your mind as we work together. And I will only share with you one closing thought that I said the very night I was sworn into office. Omaha, one people, one city, one mission, one success. That's what we must deliver to ourselves and to our children and to our future children's children. Thank you.
First question we have is, did you receive sufficient information as a council member about the city's financial situation? Are you changing information given to council members?
Well, that's a great question. I personally think we were given surface information. It was controlled. We certainly knew we had certain dilemmas, such as the pension plan problem, and certainly debt service fund, that was something that was alive and talked about quite a bit. But I think much of what we were driven was on that philosophy, the political philosophy of no new taxes. And that had been a controlling factor for not only the council I served on, but the previous councils and also the previous mayors. So in that context, as members of the city council, we did receive basic information, but we certainly were not involved in any of the details. And then something else happened. It was a surprise to everyone, including Mayor Fahey. When we got those financials and went over them on the 15th of May, we could see this big chasm that had formed in the revenue stream that was so important to the general fund, and that this sales tax was dropping rapidly, and we could not find the bottom. So we had those two things. One, an answer to your question on the information given to the council, and then second, the dilemma of the times. I plan to make sure that this council has full access to the departments and full access to any and all the financials. As I see it, we'll go over it, but within a matter of days, the council will have benefit of that too, and I will continue that policy because I think it's a healthy policy and one that the people would expect.
Okay. Next question. Can Omaha residents who do not license their vehicles in Omaha be caught and fined? Is there sufficient staff to do so? How much revenue might be realized? And how would one report such violations?
Well, I think that's a good question. And from time to time, we have had a kind of a swing through neighborhoods or apartment complexes to see if vehicles are not titled in this state, licensed in this state. And certainly we derive a benefit of that, not only from the licensing, the sales tax, the wheel tax, et cetera. That is something that, we probably need to be doing again. And I will put it on my to-do list that we will run through each quarter and make sure we have at least some part of the city targeted so that we can encourage people to use the honor system. It is an honor system to properly register your vehicles. So that's basically what I would see that I would want to do.
Can you tell us how the learning community is going?
Well, I'm a proponent of education, and I really took to heart what I was reading and seeing in the success story in Philadelphia, where the mayor and the superintendent of schools were the deciding factors in the progress, positive progress, that was being made in that community. And so I see that here. Even though the statutory responsibilities for education are not with the mayor's office, they're over with the superintendent of schools, the school boards, and this new learning community, I do believe that the mayor needs to take an active role, and I have been and I will continue to do more so. Over the last 3 weeks, I've been visiting schools. We went to two schools where we were looking specifically for about an hour and a half at the after-school programs. I learned a great deal from that. I'm working with Senator Nelson on how we continue to make sure that money is brought in to fund those special programs. I've been participating with Bright Futures. I will continue to do that, and I will continue to stay in touch with all the superintendents here in the greater metropolitan area. Whether they have active roles inside the city limits of Omaha or not, I will be engaging all of them as we continue, all of us, to give education and give children a priority in this community.
What is the time frame of the federally imposed sewer obligation?
I think we have the whole sewer dilemma under control right now. We will continue to monitor it. You know, this is one of the advantages you have in an engineer as a mayor. I know the questions to ask. I know how this works. I know what they're going to be doing every step along the way. So we have some 17 to 20 years out and ahead of us here that we put together the plan. The plan has been officially filed with the Department of Environmental Control here in Nebraska, as well as their linkage back into EPA. They seem very pleased with it. It was filed early, and I will share with you that the secret for staying on top of this sewer mandate, the what is now a $1.6 billion mandate, is to design the budget, construct a budget, and finance the budget. That's the whole foundation of the managers, and the mayor's office will be actively involved with our public works department and with our program managers to make sure that we stay together on this and keep this under total control for the next 20-plus years that we will be engaged with this.
How is the business community responding? How can Omaha continue to attract new business and residents? What, if any, recommendations are business leaders making to fill the empty commercial and residential structures?
Wow, that's a huge question. As I drive around the city, the metro area, in fact, we're seeing too many vacant storefronts, and we've got to get very, very active. You know, I will share with you that we do have a great Chamber of Commerce, and we do have a Chamber of Commerce that cares, and we have a business community that cares. And we're doing a lot of things that are very, very proactive in order to bring industry and bring the investment into our state. I do, however, think that we're following a lot of old paradigm rules, old paradigm, let's say, guidelines. And I think we have to step to the future and begin to look at new ways of positioning ourselves and new ways of how we bring those investment dollars into this city. And that's where you'll see my office pushing hard on thinking just a little bit differently on how we're going to attack the challenge. This comes from my marketing experience and comes from going through this so many times in the architecture engineering business, as we had to readjust to fit the problem. And that's what we need to do as a community. But we need to sell as one. We need to sell for the metropolitan area. And what's good for Sarpy County is good for Douglas and Omaha. What's good for Pottawatomie County and Council Bluffs is good for Omaha as well. So that's kind of my overall philosophy. A lot of work to be done. I am pleased to announce that because I've had some extra time since we got through all this budget stuff, I've been able to do what I want to do, and that's be on that phone making telephone calls to potential investors and potential people that have ideas. They're looking for a vacant building, or they're looking for a vacant ground, or they're looking for the banking financing. So more and more of my time has been spent in a catalytic way to bring together the investors with those who have an interest in developing and bringing them right here to the metro area, and we'll continue that, and we plan to step it up.
Why are we still funding the helicopter program and possibly purchasing a new one when we're millions of dollars in the red? The criminals do not wait to commit crimes between 5 p.m. and 1 a.m. Kansas City, which is a larger metro, does not invest in them. Could you comment?
Well, I think whoever wrote the question probably pretty much has in their mind what the solution is. I respect your opinions. Have you been up in the helicopter? If you haven't, see me after this meeting. We'll take you on a little ride, and you will see and experience what I saw and experience. In the modern police force of where we are going, we're going to need to put more things together, and this is one of the roles that I see for the Deputy Chief of Staff that I'm planning to bring in, is to focus on the public safety aspects, because that's what the people have said is the number one concern that they have. But also, we need to tie together Homeland Security. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to our state, but I think there's a lot of things on the Homeland Security side that we are missing that we need to have direct access in Washington. And so we're going to do it, and your mayor is going to be serving on the proper committees and the proper task force in the role as being the 40th largest city in this nation. The helicopters are part of a system, and I'm a systems person. And you may look at them as a perk. I look at it as part of the tools. And I said, as I campaigned, I've said as mayor, we will continue to make sure that our law enforcement and our fire and rescue will have the tools they need to get their job done. It's about service, and it's about safety. And when you call, they're going to be there. It's that response time. And I'm concerned, too, with things I'm learning here in just this last week, that we sadly have spent too much time wrapped around the axle on body counts for fire and police when we need to be talking about response time for fire and police. So we're going to try and shift this paradigm over to the service that you've asked for. And if you want ambulance service at 4.5 minutes that you have now, you're going to have it. And you're going to know what it's going to cost and what the tools are for the times and the training that's necessary in order to have that. And you'll be a participant in making the decision. If we want to get to 5-minute response times for fire, we basically are there, but we don't have the whole city covered that way. We've got parts of the city at 6, 7, and even 8 minutes. Let's change it. It's 5 minutes is our standard for all of our people. And then on the police side, pick a number, whether it's 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes, or 11 minutes, those are unacceptable. We need to be down to 5 minutes also, and we're going to have to figure out how to get there. So the helicopter is part of the system solution. We need to look at other things in this system to make things better, to give you the service that you are asking for. But you also know what it's going to cost us to get there as well.
What other sources of revenue are being considered, increased and or additional fees?
Bake sales. I'm just convinced if PTAs can do bake sales, so can your city. I have been intrigued by the UNO study that Mayor Fahey commissioned last fall. It hasn't been talked about. It hasn't been widely circulated or even read. But it looked at some major cities, as I remember, some 75 or so cities, and it showed that the cities in this nation have three major funding sources. It's the property tax, it's the sales tax, and it's fees. Now, coming from a business world, I understand what fees are, and so do you, because you're faced with fees every day. So I think the people, our elected officials in the city, we must take a hard look at what are the fee structure potentials that we could have for a number of things that we now are just taking for granted. I don't know what all those are, but as we go deeper into our revenue stream and our sources, I do want to start taking a look at those elements that we are funding out of the general fund and putting out for public debate that is the time here for them to go into a fee structure. And right off the bat, you know what the number one target is for us to talk about is a garbage fee. We're the only city that pays for that out of our general fund. It's a huge number, around $14 million. So we need to talk about that. And we need to talk about recycling and resource recovery in the same breath. And I think we need to tie it all together. So we will take that to the people. I've decided that we will put that to a public vote on the ballot next May as part of our interaction of your government with you, the people. So, having said that, in summary, we need a third major revenue source. And I've got an eye toward the fees. I've got an eye toward also bringing back for reconsideration, restructuring, even this 2% entertainment tax. It was a great idea and a great strategy, but maybe it had the wrong mission and the wrong focus and the wrong forum for debate. So we'll take a look at those in the context of how do we successfully fund our basic services, but begin to put together a means of going towards the dreams that we have, whether it's the O-line or the riverfront development or the arts district or whatever it might be.
What will you do if police and fire unions don't agree to a wage freeze?
Well, they've already agreed. Okay? Fire union, police union have agreed to zero wages for 9 and 10. We announced the fire agreement some, 6 weeks ago. What we don't have are those other components that are necessary. Originally, I thought we would just focus on the fundamental fire contract and the fundamental police contract. What I'm finding now is that time is pushing us into the pension plan reform and solvency. So they now are in one discussion, and that's what we're working on, is how do we get the pension plan portion resolved so we can roll that out with the other components.
What is the status of selecting a new chief of police?
We're still on plan. Alex Hayes is doing a remarkable job. We have great communications and great synergism between me, the mayor, and him as the acting chief of police. And I do not plan to micromanage anything, so that's what I'm looking for, is good, solid people. So we're on plan with what I announced. Sometime in that early week in January, I will have the list of names to do my personal interviews with and make a decision in early January for a permanent chief.
Why don't we hear more from you about community policing?
Community policing. I think we've been doing that and we've been making changes, and I don't know that we need to talk about it. I think we need to do it. And so what have we been doing to date? There have been major changes in how we are approaching the whole gang problem and issue. We are approaching it as we should be approaching it. It's a cooperative effort between law enforcement, all agencies, those leaders in the North and South community who deal with the gang issue and problem on a daily basis, and it is the gang members themselves. And so those three groups are actually interactive on a number of things right now, and we're seeing progress. I'll tell you one of the biggest things that's led to a lot of progress, jobs. This Youth Employment Act, it's something that I'm interested in having the Congress continue, and will be one of the three subjects that I want to discuss with the Congress when I go back for my pending trip. We've been employing some 150 gang members. It's working. They're over in constructive mode. They're still gang members, but this is part of our community policing. The second part is restoring the, if we look at the north side, the 41 residential neighborhood associations. Your Omaha Police Department is actively involved in working with Councilman Gray, the Empowerment Network, and the mayor's office on making this happen with the churches and with others. So this is taking place too. So rather than talking about it, we're engaging it. And we've got it actively underway in North Omaha and in South Omaha.
I bet you've heard a lot of ideas for improvement in the past few months. Describe the best one and describe the most surprising one.
Oh, my gosh. You may have stumped the band on this one. Let me, can we do the Jeopardy theme song for just a... Well, I'm not sure I can really answer that question. We got a lot of suggestions, but what I saw in that is that we had a lot of perceptions out there that weren't true. We've already talked about the stadium over here. Kill the stadium. We can't afford it. Well, guess what? It's not part of the problem to our general fund at all. So I think we were finding other issues that were related to whether it was the Humane Society, which is a contract that's working, or other types of suggestions that we should just contract everything out. Well, that's still a cash flow issue. If we're going to contract everything out, we have to pay the contractors. That means we still have to have money in our accounts to do that. I have had an open dialogue. I've been meeting with everybody who had any types of ideas, whether they were organized or just individuals. So we've been trying to keep an open ear on that, and we will continue to do so.
It appears to me that the city of Omaha is being very heavy-handed with our new citizens in the former city of Elkhorn. This is in regard to their city hall, which they paid for previously. Why make their local organization buy it back?
It's the law. The city of Omaha cannot give away property. Can't give it to you. Can't give it to you, whether you're a nonprofit or for profit. We have to have it appraised, and we have to then negotiate on the appraised value, whether we're doing a lease or whether we're doing a purchase. It's the law.
Are you planning any more changes to personnel in your administration?
Yes. The staff that has come together to work on the third floor has been a great staff, and I saw the third day on the job after I was sworn into office that although some had worked with each other before and some were strangers, they were coming together as a team, and I want to compliment them. And as I stand before you today, they are a solid team, and we have a good team, and we're getting a lot of things done. But here's the problem. We got so many things to do that we are really running this team ragged from the standpoint of time and energy. And so I do want to bring in two additional people to the third floor. I do need that deputy chief of staff position filled, and I do want the chief of staff and the deputy chief of staff managing the day-to-day operations with the directors so that I can focus on policy and focus on the community and focus on jobs and those bigger picture regional items. That's the division that I want. But I also want a person who is part of that team to be my eyes and ears for North Omaha. We have a person that's filling that role for South, but I don't have that for North, and I think I need that in order to stay on plan with what I promised I would do in the north part of our city. The directors. You know, I took a lot of heat for bringing in talent, but when you bring in talent, you have to pay for it. And I'm going to bring in two additional peoples with talent. I've never hired a body in my life. I've always hired a professional to get the job done. And I believe very firmly, as I've learned in business, you hire good people, you pay them well, and you get out of their way. And I want to see us streamline what we do in the personnel section of our city, and I need a strong HR director who can fulfill that mission per my policy. I also need a strong person in leading the Parks Department. The time is here. And so we will focus on finding person X to fill each of those two positions, and we will pay what the market demands that we pay for the talent to come in. Those departments have a lot to do. They're behind, and they need streamlining so that we can get efficiencies in place and we can begin to save money or have money applied in a better return on your investment. And that's what I will do in 2010.
How would you describe your relations with the Omaha City Council?
Well, I'd like to say it's good. I think we have had a lot of growing pains this summer. You stop and think a minute. You had some four new people on the council. You had a new person in the mayor's office. Even though I was on the council, I was new in the mayor's responsibilities. We had a lot hit us. We had the anger of the public. We had the frustration of ourselves. It all just kind of got into a melting pot. The door's open. We've always had a relationship. We call each other. We seriously do call each other. We're finally, I think, figuring out how we fit in this charter. And let's just clarify something about this charter, because it is part of the growing pains. We do have a strong mayor form of government. The council is a legislative body, not an administrative body. Your school board is an administrative body. Your county board is an administrative body. They have administrative functions. The city council does not. So I know we have some members of the council who are well-intended that want to get over and manage the fire or manage this or manage that. That's not their charge under the charter. I'm willing to listen to their thoughts, to their ideas, but at the end of the day, thank you, It's now my turn to run with what has to be done. That's the way our system is set up, and I think it's worked successfully for us for these many decades, and it worked beautifully, this charter, this summer, as we did come to closure on this 2010 budget.
Other than the College World Series, what uses do you see for the new stadium?
Toboggan runs. I really have to laugh about that. You know, I had cartoons. We had the goofy Jim Suttle or whatever on the Leavenworth Street blog. They had nicknames for me and about the toboggan runs. Then we found out last spring that Oklahoma City's been doing toboggan runs in their new stadium for 2 to 3 years. Several weeks ago, I met with the Omaha Sports Commission, and I want to spend more time with that commission. They gave me a 2-page listing of the types of activities that could go on in this stadium. And yes, in the middle of their list, unbeknownst to them that I had already said it, was toboggan runs. Okay, we're having a little fun with that. They also had things on there that might just strike a big question mark to you, such as the National Horseshoe Pitching Tournament. Well, that may not mean anything to you or to me, but to a lot of people it does. And I will tell you this, this is a time to think innovatively. And if we have folk who do care about horseshoe pitching, and they're willing to come into our great city and spend time in our hotels and our restaurants and our shops, by gosh, I think we need to sign them up for our stadium. So in the weeks ahead, I will be meeting with Mecca. I will be meeting with the Sports Commission. We're going to do more through the Omaha Visitor Convention and Visitor Bureau. We're going to start putting in place some constructive structure on how do we get those other 50 weeks of this great stadium filled. And I think this is a great thing for our city. So keep those ideas coming in that you might have as well. Please call the mayor's office if you have information and leave it there. It would be just fine. Thank you.
At this time, I would like to thank Mayor Jim Suttle for taking time out of his busy schedule to participate in today's forum. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
And also would like to thank the audience for the questions submitted. Our next forum will be held on November 19th at 11:45 to 1:15. This will be at a different location. This will be at the new Salvation Army's Croc Center. It's at 2825 Wise Street, and this will include a lunch and a tour of the facility. I'd like to thank everyone for their attendance today, and we are adjourned.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. We've heard a talk by Omaha Mayor Jim Suttle. He spoke about his first 90 days in office. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, October 15th, 2009, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. If you'd like to attend future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete noon forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.